It's a Friday. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. All right, you got Mike and Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. Next 3 hours of sports talk with you. Other things as well. Big Football Friday. We got NFL picks, college picks coming your way later on in the program. A lot to get into. What's up, Taz? What's up, brother?
Good, Moose. Here, Friday, do it, get rolling. Another great week went by, and like you said, yeah, we got an awesome show lined up here.
Yeah, a lot to get to, Taz, this morning. A lot to unpack, and we got a little AEW, WWE, NXT update in terms of the ratings, in terms of viewership a little later on in the program as well, because stuff that we talked about yesterday on the program. News came out yesterday afternoon in terms of viewership for both of those on Wednesday night, so... That's what we call a little bit of a tease in the business. Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later on, Taz. But certainly the Thursday night game last night, we've had two now back-to-back Thursday night games. And, you know, I've been the negative Nelly on it. But got to give credit, last two games on Thursday night football have been highly entertaining. Packers and Eagles last week in Lambeau Field. And then up in Seattle, amongst the 12s, it was the Seahawks victorious over the Los Angeles Rams. As Seattle now gets themselves to 4-1 on the year, the Rams fall to 3-2, a 30-29 victory for the Seattle Seahawks as Greg the Leg Zuerlein misses a 44-yard field goal late in the game that would have given, the Rams the victory. Yeah. It wasn't at the gun, but it was pretty much close to it. Would have given the Rams the victory. He misses it. Seattle, as Carroll celebrates on the sideline, come away with the 1-point victory.
Yeah. What a heartbreaker for Los Angeles for sure. Because I agree. If Zuerlein nails that kick, you know they're going to.
I was stunned he missed it.
He's usually spot on.
He's great.
I mean, he really is. But you know how it is with kicking. That's what happens, right?
So, yeah, he's a really good one though, Taz.
It was not
the Jets kicker lining up. I mean, not Matt Gay
good,
down
man.
In Tampa Bay. I was stunned Zuerlein missed that one.
Yeah, he's at the same level as Lambeau, our friend
right,
here.
Yes.
But anyway, he's usually spot on for sure. But you're right. I mean, it was a super entertaining game. This was a hell of an NFC matchup. And the Rams are in an interesting spot. They got two losses. They're 3-2. Who would have thunk it? You know, here we are, week 5 and stuff, and they're 3-2. They got two losses. I'm a little surprised after the season they had last year. But no knock on them. Great game yesterday. They're on the road. Tough place to play, as you mentioned, with that 12th man. But they're 3-2 right now. I didn't expect them to have two losses right now.
No, neither did I. Especially, Taz, I didn't expect them to have two losses following a game in which they got drubbed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and lose that game 55-40 last week at home in Los Angeles. Then you would imagine they'd be a little smitten off that. It wasn't like they weren't good offensively, Taz.
Yeah.
You know, it's more a case of where this Rams defense is for Wade Phillips. As much credit as we want to give him, you know, he got lit up last week. And we've talked about that Rams personnel. Remember after the Brown game, we were giving them all the credit. Wow, they've got playmakers on every single level. Aaron Donald, you've got Clay Matthews. You know, Littleton's a good linebacker. And then you look at the corners, you've got Aqib Talib and Peters. Look at the guys in the safety position. You know, they're going to be pretty good. Dante Fowler getting after the quarterback. And honestly, you know, they've been quite poor. I mean, it really is.
Well,
they've been very, very poor at getting after the quarterback, and their coverage downfield has been terrible.
That has been. And the main thing, too, what that Rams defense, Wade Phillips' defense is, they've been on the field too long. I mean, you know, just about 10 minutes more time of possession did the Seahawks have over the Rams. That's too much. They were on the field way too much, the Rams, playing defense. They kept, you know, obviously, listen, we all know how great Russ is. We know that. We understand that. But Lockett, by the way, he made a catch that with his that one in the corner. You see that one in the corner?
Yes,
that was unbelievable.
One of the great catches so far in the season.
It really was. I mean, even the running back for Seahawks, Carson, they made him look like he was freaking Tony Dorsett in the 80s. I mean, the Rams couldn't stop this guy. He had over 110 yards rushing. I mean, so their defense, they just were playing too much defense. They time possession game, they couldn't get the Seahawks off the field enough. I mean, that ended up costing them. You're right, though. That defense is an issue.
Oh, it is. And you're right in terms of the time of possession. You know, the Rams had no issue moving the football on that Seahawks defense, which is nowhere close to what it once was. I mean, you got Gurley now, 15 carries for 51 yards after he had, what, 7 touches the week previous?
Yeah.
I believe just 5 carries against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But to play to your point, I mean, Carson had over 110 yards on the ground. And the Seahawks nearly ran for 170 yards as a team.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're going into that game. And that's kind of one thing that Seattle got to last year, especially with Carson running the football. And you saw it once again last night for that Seattle Seahawks. That's winning at the point of attack, which is surprising because, you know, Taz, you look at that Ram, you look at that Rams defensive line. I know Ndamukong Suh is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. But when you've got Aaron Donald along that defensive line, the last thing you would expect is the Seahawks to win the battle up front and in a war of wills be able to run the football as effectively as they did last night. I was surprised by that.
I was too. You're spot on because the O line for the Seahawks, the push they were getting on that defensive line of the Rams was I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was like, what is going on here? I mean, this is what we saw against the Bucs too. So I don't know if they got to reassess or maybe offensive coordinators are figuring out how to run the ball on this talented defense that they had last year. You're right, Sue's not there anymore, but he's with the Bucs. But the thing is, though, like still you have arguably the best defensive player in the league on that defensive front, and they're moving the ball. I mean, Brock is a really good player. Fowler's a really good player. They're moving the ball. Clay Matthews, that linebacker, the D-backs and stuff with Weddle and Marcus Peters. They got the Talib. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's happening. Again, that Seahawks offense last night was on point, though. I mean, they really were. Russell Wilson was on point. He played great. You know, 4 touchdowns, but still, you got it. I know you're in a roll, but you got this awesome defense, and we haven't seen it for 2 weeks.
Now, you know, we've talked a lot about hits, right? And we certainly last weekend we did with the hit on Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And the concussion, Vontaze Burfict, we talked about that on Jack Doyle, and then he gets suspended for the rest of the season for the Oakland Raiders in that Raiders-Colts game. Did you have an issue with the 15-yard penalty on Clay Matthews, roughing the passer at about, I don't know, what was it, about the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter? 5:45, thank you, Mike. 5:45 mark of the fourth quarter. Did you have an issue with that roughing the passer penalty on Matthews?
I mean, listen, it's that late in the game. The shorter answer is a little bit.
I did.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the thing is, though, because, you know, at that late in the game, you can't, I mean, it's easier said than done, obviously. You gotta really be careful in regards to penalties. You can't let that even be in the realm of a problem. And Matthews came, I mean, he was full speed Jones. I mean, he came, once he saw Wilson roll out, he came off the outside and just full speed like a blitz, even though it wasn't a blitz, because he was rolling out Wilson, and he couldn't stop his momentum. I mean, it was a late release on the pass. I think he could have pulled up, but his momentum was really going forward. He didn't hit him in the head.
No, he didn't.
It was a forearm, on the chest.
Right, he did. I mean,
you had a problem with it?
I thought it should have been called.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
You're right, he's going full speed, and this is not, a major motion picture where a guy can all of a sudden stop all of his momentum
in the
span of one stride, Taz. I don't disagree with you. I think if he didn't lean into it the way that he did, and kind of follow through the way that he did to an extent, maybe that penalty doesn't get called. You know what I mean?
Like, I think
if
you're
he,
right.
If he kind of
pushed his arms follow through, to your point.
Yeah, like,
and that, yeah, that's,
and I think that's where it came through. Like, if the ball gets released, he's not going to get a sack, he's not going to get a quarterback hit. If he does one of those things where you see defensive players do it, where they hold their hands up,
right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
and then all of a sudden he kind of nudges them and bumps them.
Right.
I don't think they're going to call a penalty.
No, I think you're right.
Even if Russell Wilson goes down, I don't think they're going to call a penalty. I think it was the nature of the hit. And in today's NFL, the protection of the quarterback, Taz, I think that's the reason why, the fact that he leaned into it and a little bit of the follow through with his arms, I think that's the reason why the penalty got called.
No, I think you're right. Definitely about, especially with the lean and especially the follow through, both those points. But he, and like you said it too, I mean,
he's in a tough spot.
He's in a tough spot, Matthews, and he's an aggressive player. He's a tremendous player. And as you know, just a few years ago, this wouldn't have happened. It would not have been a penalty there.
Oh, no,
but,
I know.
You know, it's totally different now. I mean, But that follow through did it. I mean, I've never had, when I played football, you know, it was different. You know, you hit a guy, you could follow through, you land on him, you did all that stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know,
White pancake.
Yeah, he was the master of it.
Yeah, Phil Simms used to always talk about that. You hit him, and then all of a sudden, the weight of the world was on top of you because that was, and driving you down into that veteran stadium
like
turf.
Like
right,
cement.
In the cement. And they did away with that because obviously that led to some injuries and everything like that. And play to your point of what you used to do when you were playing.
Yeah, and I'm just, but imagine that. I mean, he was a big man, White, just dead weight on you. Just like a tank falling on you.
Yeah.
Giant man. But no, I've never played a sport in all my years as an athlete where I had to stop my motion from going full speed. So I don't know how to stop. I don't know how these defensive guys are able to do that or how tough it is because they can get hurt. That's a great way to blow out a knee or pop your patella in your kneecap when you're going full speed and then you stop so you don't get a penalty. I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to exaggerate here, but some of it could be physically impossible to stop. Like, I don't know how Matthews, just again, as we're breaking this play down, right? I don't know how he can physically stop his body. Except for, and I think you make the great point of the follow through, even more than a lean. The follow through he could have prevented.
Yeah.
But the hit, there's no way he's preventing
hitting
him.
I think, maybe I should correct, maybe if it wasn't for the follow through, then that penalty doesn't get called.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it doesn't. But you know what? We also had a scenario in that Bronco game, Bronco Bear game, remember, where he had roughing the passer on Mitchell Trubisky. Remember we were talking about the time on the game-winning Eddie Pinheiro 53-yard field goal where they got into field goal range where they called 15-yard rough in the passer penalty, and that penalty made little to no sense.
No sense, right.
I mean, because he basically, as the moment he got rid of the ball, Bradley Chubb was hitting him on the outside, and that penalty made no sense.
Made no sense, right.
So, I mean, there wasn't a case of, and usually the rule of thumb for anybody that doesn't know is, you know, you get one stride.
Right.
Anything more than one stride.
Right.
That's when you're going to get called for a penalty. So, but the Chubb penalty, it was within one stride.
It was within one stride.
It was basically in the act of tackling him or hitting him as Trubisky got rid of the football.
Totally. It's not like these guys are video game. You know, they're humans. And
and
I'm telling you, like watching that play with Mathis, he had a run, dude. I'm talking about a full sprint. If you watch his closing speed, as soon as he saw Wilson roll out to Wilson's right, he ran at least, he sprinted, full sprint, Matthews. It had to be 13 yards. And he, you know, I don't know how he's going to stop himself from hitting him, but I guess the follow-through is the only thing I would say Matthews screwed up on, because that you probably could have prevented.
Yeah, and even with that penalty being called at the time and being very debatable, Taz, as you know, Seahawks fans were excited and Ram fans were enraged. You know, Zuerlein's still lining up there for a 44-yard field goal. And it was high up on the right cross, high up on the right pole that he missed it. I mean, it was almost over the pole. I mean, it was very, very close in terms of going through. It was obviously he missed it. And I was at that stage pretty surprised, as we mentioned earlier on, that he did miss it. It's almost like I almost look at it as like a foregone conclusion. Oh, Zuerlein's lined up for a field goal. He's going to make it.
It's over, right?
Right. And he misses it. And, you know, we talked about the Rams and Wade Phillips maybe not adjusting defensively. The Rams' offense is A-okay. I mean, Jared Goff threw for nearly 400 yards. I mean, Everett's making plays. Cooper Kupp's making plays.
Everett looked great.
Yeah, he did on that one run. I mean, basically down at the half-yard line. So the offense, you know, even you have questions about Todd Gurley, is fine. It's really about that Rams defense. And then you get to Seattle, who, you know, we talked about earlier in the season, not much of a passing game. Lockett's making plays.
Yeah.
You know, you got the rookie at Ole Miss making plays.
The big muscular kid.
Yeah.
Metcalf
is making plays. Carson run the football. I mean, that offense for Seattle seems to have gotten healthy. You have concerns about that defense. You saw Clowney make a play last night.
Yeah,
they're a 4-1 football team, as Carroll's celebrating, Taz. Yeah. And, you know, I think his excitement and exuberance, here's the one thing about Seattle that I'll give him credit for, not just all the winning is, you know, there's a lot to be said about belief. That Seahawks team, whatever Carroll sells every week,
they're buying it. Yeah.
They buy.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Every week, Taz, they buy in. Whatever it might be, they buy in. They love their coach. They love playing for their coach. Mm. His excitement, exuberance, and his energy, they feed off of it. You saw it after the Zerline miss last night. And hook, line, and sinker, they buy into whatever Carroll's selling. And, Taz, that's important.
Well, that's the key. We talk about it all the time, you know, the connectivity that a coach can have with his player on any level, no matter if it's college or in the NFL or what have you, you know, no matter what sport. You know, if you have that, you know... You know what I mean? If you have that connectivity, that's what you want. You want to be able to connect to your players. And you're right. I mean, Pete Carroll, I mean, old man Jones. And he looks like a young kid. And he connects to these guys.
He really does. You want to know how
old is he again?
Carroll, I would say Carroll is 60. If I had to guess, 68 years old.
Oh, wow. We said it before. He looks amazing.
If I had to guess, 68. Great. He is 68.
Man.
Zerline, you want to know how good Zerline is? Here he is. 112 of 115. Good stat, Mike. 112 of 115 on kicks of 44 yards or shorter in his career.
Wow.
Last night, 44. He missed it with the game on the line.
Unbelievable.
11 seconds to go.
Pete Carroll's how old?
68.
Ah, man, he's 20 years older than me. He looks great. All right.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Maybe not 20.
Right. Hashtag we over.
My math
855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose. On a Friday morning, what's your thoughts on the Thursday night affair that went the Seahawks' way? We'll get into a little baseball. Wild game down in Atlanta. Not so much out in Los Angeles. We'll touch upon that and more next. It's Taz and Moose on a Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Friday morning. CBS Sports Radio. We've got college picks, NFL picks coming your way a little bit later on in the program. Bogish is in the house, first time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Good morning.
Yes, you were screaming for me. He's busy outside.
I was trying to find him.
Well, you were not on the radio either.
Well, it's called preparation.
Right.
Well, my co-host is getting ready to bring us back from break.
You're coughing.
Yes. No, I make sure everything, the landscape is right here, and that's my job.
Right.
So that's
Taz
how it's called
the big
teamwork.
Settler of the scene.
That's me. It's called teamwork.
Correct.
So
yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't find Andrew, and I'm screaming, Andrew, where is he? And then we found
him. Get me Heller.
Yeah, right.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
Tobias,
where's Zook?
What game are you calling today?
So, yeah.
That's a good question. I just found out yesterday I'll be calling West Islip High School against Connecticut High School.
Nice. Who's the big star
on
West Islip?
Slowly. West Islip's best player is a young man named Kyle Half, a linebacker.
Wow, I just got a shout-out while he's in class.
Yeah.
So,
starting quarterback for Connecticut.
It's Connecticut. Okay.
Yes. His name
just
is...
go with it. Thank you.
Guardia. I'm not trying to say it just yet, but he's going to play at Stony Brook next year on Long Island.
Oh, really? Suffolk County Jones.
Yes, he's an FCS recruit.
Right, right. Oh, okay. Nice. Where is he? Nice. So that's a Suffolk County battle right there.
Oh, yes. Big Suffolk Division 2 battle. Look out.
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
This is actually on TV, Zach, but thanks for asking.
Play on the internet?
Nope, television.
Where can we watch it?
That's another good question, Moose. That will be on Verizon Fios, Channel 501, only if you live on Long Island, at a date that's not today.
Well, I live on Long Island, and I am not going to watch it.
That's fair. Okay. I mean, you couldn't watch it today anyway. The game does not air live.
Oh, pre-tape Jones.
It's a tape delay broadcast. The actual air date is unknown to me.
Oh, that's awesome. So by then,
that's going to be
Thanksgiving. These kids will be in college by then.
No, it'll air probably Monday at the latest.
Oh, Monday on the latest.
Yeah.
So at some point over the next 3.5 days.
Yeah.
So
stay tuned.
It's like buying day-old bagels.
It's something similar to that, right.
Stale bread Jones. Yes. I feel you. That's interesting. Well, good luck and have fun.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, what time's that game?
It's a 6 o'clock kickoff
at
West Islip High School.
I have an idea.
Friday Night Lights.
Whoever the boss is who hired you for this thing.
Yes.
I would say, hey, Haas,
why
don't we do this? The game is going to be live to tape, okay, as we call it in TV business, Andrew. You obviously didn't know that because you didn't say those words. But
I didn't want to speak down to our listeners.
That's what the terminology is, live to tape. So why don't I do what they call in the biz a VO, meaning you? You should just voice this game, voice it over. Once it's just let them shoot the game, play the game, and VO it on Monday.
No, I can't. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
Wow.
I wouldn't be able to muster the. You got to be there.
Dude,
it's got to happen
I've
in the moment.
I've pulled pro wrestling in
You're better than me. We discussed this already.
On a regular basis, and you think I'm in the arena.
There's a little bit of a difference between production costs for the WWE and high school football.
Correct.
Good point.
But you also, but yeah. You,
would you not say there's a little bit of a
different budget?
I would agree in terms of voicing it over, yeah. Post-production, hiring
right.
A crew,
a
rolling the video.
Another good point.
You know, okay. Is that, you know.
Yeah.
Got it. I don't think.
You're right.
The only studio we have is the back of a former FedEx truck that they've...
I said
reconfigured into a. So I'm not sure the acoustics in there are good enough for me to record VO after the fact.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But if Suffolk County football is run by Vince McMahon, you could clearly do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's true. I didn't think. Well, you're right, because, you know, and you work at SNY, Moose, and, you know, when you work, like, in real studios like that, walking aside, you do get. Kind of a little bit, not spoiled, but, you know, you think that that's how anything in
no,
any
that's
kind
a good
of
word.
TV
spoiled
is.
Spoiled is the right word.
Yeah, spoiled probably. Yeah. Yes, I would say I'm probably a little spoiled.
No, because it's like you have resources that are insane. You, Andrew, you've done this.
Well,
you know
what they have at SNY, too. They have free snacks.
Oh, they do.
Talk about spoiled.
Oh, they do,
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a snack wall.
Really?
Oh,
snack wall.
Snack wall.
Yeah. Well, they called it a snack wall initially when we were down in right across the street from Radio City. But yes, they have coffee, they have soda fountain.
Oh wait, that's a studio that was on
right across
it, right,
Radio City.
Right on what do you call it?
On
right
6th.
On 6th Avenue. On 6th, and you could see that's where this company we used to be in Midtown there.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm, but you could see the studio. I remember that. I remember seeing the studio.
Sometimes
that's right. I forgot you used to come upstairs.
I
forgot about that. Yeah.
Right where right next to the Time Life building.
Actually, I used to get my parking discount because the guy said, "I'll tell them that you work for SNY." And
yes.
He gave me an SNY card. I never worked for SNY in my life. Don't tell anyone that you work with that.
Well, there you go. I'm sure they're excited about that. You'll be getting an invoice in the mail.
We've gone over budget.
I think they've gotten rid of that parking garage now.
They have. But Edge is right. It's like, wait, why is this invoice? Why is the hell's going on with the parking?
So you have all kinds of snacks, healthy and unhealthy, that they provide every day. And they load it up every day.
Snack
twice
wall.
A day. Yeah. Correct.
It's amazing.
It's like here.
What's on there?
What's on?
Well, they have, let's see.
Candy apples?
No, not candy apples. They'll have, let's see, sun chips, potato chips, tortilla chips. They have
granola
cashews,
bars,
almonds, right. Granola bars.
Massages.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Mani pedis.
They have 9-grain, for you, Mike, you're very health conscious, 9-grain granola. They have that. They have quinoa and blueberry crisps.
Wow.
Yes.
What
else?
Bougie.
Yeah. Peanut butter pretzels.
Ooh,
goldfish.
Pete?
I'm not even naming. I mean, there's probably about 10 other things as well.
Amazing.
Well, as impressed as
fruit
I
bites.
Am. As oh, impressed as bites. I am with that, yeah. Moose, with SMY, here comes the burial. At WWE, it was done a little bit different. Here we go.
Here we go.
One Up Jones. Here we
that's
go.
What I used to do, guys.
I was a wrestler. But I don't work there anymore. You still work at SNY, yes. So you win. But they didn't have a snack wall. What they did is they would have an intern just basically hand out menus to 2-3 different places they would pick, and you ordered whatever you want. And
nice.
Like, so that's how they did it. Like,
awesome.
For
that's
the talent.
Great.
Yeah, so my first time, though, I ever was in the studio, I had to do a photo shoot before I debuted as a wrestler. And they had a catering spread in the studio, in the photography studio. Mm-hmm. They have their own there, obviously. I couldn't believe the spread that they had of food. I'm like, who does all this food for? They go, you. I go, me. Well, what am I, the size of Andre? I mean, this, and that, but all the crew was coming to eat, too, but it was like they had full cold cuts. WWE don't play games with that stuff.
That's great. That's
they suck in a sense that they didn't invite me to their 20th anniversary, which is happening tonight in Los Angeles, and the SmackDown anniversary. On that level, they suck, okay? And I did say that publicly.
Pete's going.
But Pete's invited, and I'm walking the blue carpet.
Yeah.
I've only called 9 years of SmackDown, Moose, but yet I don't get the invite. And then I go and
that's
I attack.
Right.
And I know there was an attack on Twitter yesterday. Because the Fox WWE official account tweeted and tagged me and shouted me out. I was part of a call, the number one SmackDown, Friday Night SmackDown moment in history. when the Big Show and Brock Lesnar superplexed Jones and they broke the ring. I don't remember that.
I do remember that.
And I was what they call a commentator on that. That got number one, and they tagged me. So when whenever I tweeted, I'm going to go off. Yeah, I got to just stop. Yeah, because I'm getting angry.
Moose, Mike's off.
I didn't want to get into this. But anyway, yeah, so I tweeted a little
putting
comeback.
Putting his glasses on. Look out.
That's your opinion.
You see the Moose. You see it, Moose. You see the tweet.
Are you going to read a prepared statement right now?
No. I'm trying to stay calm because I'm angry.
What, do you want me to read the tweet? Or are you teeing me up?
Actually, you know what? I am teeing you up. If you read the tweet, you would do it much better than me.
I forgot my login.
Because it's probably the Moose.
No, I'm joking.
His password is the Moose.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so
right,
you'll see
Fox just logged in.
He's like, "Oh, I got it now."
Right.
No, but you'll find it. Fox ESPN. It's on my Twitter. That's several down there, and it was a full attack. And they put me over. You know, they put me over, and they gave me love the official account, and then I got petty. But a lot of people are on my side.
Hey, it's the same reaction some might have when they realize I wasn't invited the big anniversary show tomorrow night. Yeah, that's a good one.
Nah, I thought you would have done a better job setting it up.
No, I'm trying to I don't have my glass. Thanks. Hey, it's the same reaction some might have when they realize I wasn't invited the big anniversary show tomorrow night.
Yes, well, and to set that up, what happened
there you
was
go.
On the call.
My second read's more better
much
than
better,
the first.
Much better. The
thank
reaction
you. I'll
the,
work
that
on it.
You
maybe
were referring
the 7
to.
O'clock hour, I'll do a better read.
The reaction was because my live call on the suplex was, I said, holy S on TV. And, that was, and that's why. So everybody was going crazy and loving that back then. And that helped add to the call, obviously, and to the bump these guys took. So that's my sarcasm towards Fox and ESPN.
I can sense it. I enjoy sarcasm.
And WWE. Yes. Yeah, it's there. And it got a lot of attraction. Mm. And then, so I don't know how we got into this topic. But, yes, the catering at WWE offered was great. But yet, forgetting to invite me to Los Angeles for a SmackDown anniversary completely sucks. We got our resident Mark here.
You are a Mark.
Pete the
Bot. I'm just curious.
I just want to get Pete's opinion on this.
On what you should have.
No, should I be invited, Pete?
Of course.
Yes.
What is Pete going to say? No?
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be invited.
No.
I mean, come
Pete
on.
Pete was on the committee that didn't
Pete,
invite
should
you.
I have been invited? No, Taz. What?
They got it right.
Yeah. Pete's like, it's Friday. I'm trying to get to the weekend. Taz, whatever you say.
Show.
He's like, Taz, whatever you say.
I know. Invite you twice.
Well, right. I've been going off. I've been texting right. Pete about this for 2 days.
You've been texting Pete?
I've been texting Pete. He's been my therapist
don't
on this.
Don't tell me you texted Robbie Rosenhaus about this, too.
No, Robbie texts me. And Robbie always texts me while I'm in the middle of recording the award-winning Taz show.
Mm. That's not a surprise.
Yeah, he just knows when I'm recording.
Thoroughly annoying.
He's just annoying.
I don't need to text with you, Robbie, about the Minnesota Gophers and
well,
their
prepare D-backs. For a text right now because he's listening.
Yeah, well, that's what he does.
Oh, no, I know.
You know, because you've experienced
well, what
this,
what do you
too.
Mean? I get texts every time we mention his name. I get a text that day.
And then he does this routine. A friend of mine was listening to you and Moose. Oh, that's
meaning
a little
him.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten that one.
I've gotten
a reaction to something I said, and then I have to think back to what I said about Robbie Rosenhaus earlier in the day. Like, him and I were going back and forth at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he'll text me at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then before I text him, I have to think about what exactly did I say about Robbie, because I don't have the recall or what sarcastic comment I made about the big house.
What is he? But does he have some kind of like transcription service that alerts him to
people,
when his
bro.
Name is mentioned places?
He's got people, man. He's got people.
He believes odds are at some point this week, which is on a Friday this week, that his name will be referenced.
And he was right.
He marks it, tapes it, and saves it.
You're right. That's exactly
and that becomes
it.
Part of his reel.
Sick red man. Siren going off
that
in his room.
Do you remember when I was in Vegas and Robbie was shadowing me throughout that appearance? Remember that?
Yes, I do remember.
It was a 2-day excursion.
Stalking.
Big right. shadow.
I'm going back. I'm
big
going,
I'm into going, the cliffs.
That's not nice. I'm going. That wasn't right, Pete. He's got a problem with you, Pete. You got to be careful. He
I only said big shadow. Bogus said eclipse.
That was all right. Anyway, well, we don't want to body shame people here. We're not
no,
like
we're
that.
Not
you know how
that.
We are.
Come on.
We're good people. So, anyway, we'd never do that here.
Don't say it.
Thank you. I know where you were going, and you did not. Good job. You're a pro. So here's the deal. I'm going to be in Baltimore at StarCast in November doing another appearance.
Right.
And guess who is going to shadow me again?
Oh, Robbie.
Robbie and I, we ride together again, this time through Chomp City, baby. Yeah.
Nice.
Great. That's right.
There you go.
All right. Andrew Bogus is here.
Bogus, what's going on?
All sorts of dejected right now.
I know. Everybody's like miserable. God.
The L.A. Rams had won their last two trips to Seattle. The last time a division foe won three in a row up there. The Seahawks were in the AFC West. It was the Broncos in the mid to late 90s. The Rams probably should have joined them last night.
Snap back, ball down. Kick climbs to the uprights. It's close. It's no good. He missed to the right. And the Seahawks are going to win.
Mike Tirico on Westwood 1. Greg the Leg. Greg Zuerlein missing from 44 yards out.
Do you know why he did that game last night?
I just read that he replaced Ian Eagle, or filled in for Ian, but I don't know why Ian wasn't there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Tirico.
Mike Tirico.
Oh, Mike Tirico, Syracuse. Yes.
And he did a playoff game for Westwood last year.
He did. No.
Yeah.
I was just curious because I'm used to listening to Ian in the car
right.
on Thursday night. I didn't. You know, Kevin Harlan does the Monday night game. I was just curious why that was the case. I couldn't find an answer. I was just curious.
They're both really good, though.
Oh, no, they're great. Yeah. I think Ian's obviously very good. I thought Tirico did a nice job last night on radio.
I didn't hear him on radio, but I'm not surprised. He's a pro.
Yeah, he's a real. I thought listening to it, describing it, not over describing it, I thought he did a really nice job.
Big difference too. I think you brought up a good point right there, which a lot of people don't understand. Radio's a lot harder. You know,
oh, no doubt.
You got to describe it. You know,
you got to describe all
correct.
The action.
It's a lot harder.
You can't let the pictures tell the story.
Correct. Yeah.
So, but I thought he did a good listen when I was in the car for like 45 minutes last night.
That game with West Islip and Konecwat, that's not on radio?
That's not on the radio. It might be. I can't speak to what West Islip or Konecwat
right.
does.
Kevin Harlan's going to be doing the game.
No, it's probably Kevin Harlan's kid at this
yes,
point.
Yes, that's true.
He's in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Harlan's like, I need the reps.
It's been a while.
I
haven't done a game in 36 hours.
Right.
Oh, man.
So that was Tirico calling Greg Zuerlein's miss. 44-yarder, 11 seconds to go. Instead of a 32-30 W, the Rams lose 30-29. But as a wise Taz once said and confirmed last night by Rams QB Jared Goff, it wasn't just about the miss.
It didn't all come down to that kick. There was a lot of plays that we could have had, you know, a lot better. You know, a million things that could have gone differently that would have changed that game. And you learn from it and move forward.
And Goff speaking from the shower. He threw for 395 yards with a touchdown and a pick. He handed off twice to Todd Gurley for touchdowns, but their team has now lost twice in 5 days. The Seahawks got one of Russell Wilson's best efforts, creating plays all night with his legs, 268 yards and TDs to four different receivers. His Seahawks now 4-1. Far from the field, attorneys for a condo owner suing Antonio Brown for damages to that condo, want AB to sit down for a second deposition. They say he was, quote, noncompliant and pugnacious during the first one. This lawsuit connected to that time an angry Brown threw furniture and other objects off the balcony of the condo, nearly hitting a young child.
I have to say something. I just want to speak about me for a second. I've been told by someone that I was pugnacious. You look at that as an insult, Moose, or not? Turn your mic on, sir, please.
No.
Your mic's off.
I got you. No, I don't.
You know, pugnate. Andrew, you know what that means, right?
I do. I don't think it's a... I'm shocked it was eager, a legal term.
It says, yeah, eager to quick to argue or quarrel.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
No. Yeah, I don't think that's an insult.
Well, I would think here on our show that Moose and I are both pugnacious at times, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
Right. That's why you're
you. Yeah, so who told you that? Some guy we over?
Nah, somebody at a hotel, a fan once.
Oh.
Exactly.
When, 10 years ago?
And that guy now in charge of Fox, so hence you're not invited.
What are we, reliving the 90s?
It wasn't 10 years ago. I was in Las Vegas at the Gimmick, at the StarCast, and somebody...
It's like 6 months ago.
I know. All right. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
But you made it sound like you just got that tweet right now.
No. The guy said it in person. He goes, "You're very pugnacious." I go, "Pardon me?"
I said,
"I'm a big fan." I go, "You're a big fan. You just called me
argumentative." No, I don't think that's an insult. Andrew didn't think that.
My comeback moves was them. I said, "Would you like to see me be tenacious?" And he walked away.
There you go.
That's how that went. I might have lost a follower on that.
Probably did. He's no longer a fan.
Yeah, just right. Maybe he was an executive at Fox, and I didn't realize it.
Taz can never come here. Why? I can't tell you. He just is not allowed. Playoff baseball last night. The Dodgers looking pretty smart for starting Walker Buehler, not Clayton Kershaw or Hyun-Jin Ryu. In game one with the Nationals, Buehler gave Dave Roberts six shutout innings.
Walker, time and time again, just knows how to temper, control his emotions, and transfer that into the delivery, the execution of pitches. And today, from that first throw, he was on point tonight.
Three relievers finished off a 6-0 win in their opener in L.A. The Cardinals won a thrilling game one in Atlanta 7-6. They erased a 3-1 hole in the eighth, then got two-run doubles in the ninth from Marcelo Zuna and Colton Wong, then allowed three runs in the bottom half before Carlos Martinez got the final out. These two NL series continue today, and you get game one for the Astros and Rays at 1 Central, the Yankees and Twins at 7 Eastern. The Mets fired manager Mickey Callaway yesterday, and on ice, the Avalanche outscored the Flames 5-3. Nashville down to Minnesota 5-2. Three assists from Matt Duchene in his Predators debut, and the Lightning beat the Panthers 5-2. Tampa Bay has won six openers in a row. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll come back. We'll talk a little baseball, mix that into the equation. The divisional series got going last night. We'll touch upon the big Cardinal victory down in Atlanta and the ho-hum Dodger victory out in Los Angeles. We'll get into that next. And Acuna's lack of hustle. Oh, boy. Taz Moose on a Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by whom? O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's who. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Go right now. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, divisional series in the National League got going last night. And, you know, not a lot to get into in the second game between the Dodgers and the Washington Nationals. Walker Buehler was very, very good. Patrick Corbin was okay. Early run. Bullpen imploded late. Kendrick was awful defensively at first base. And, you know, you've got Muncy and Bellinger. I mean, they continue to put pressure on you throughout the course of the game. And the Dodgers clearly the favorite in the National League to get through the playoffs and get themselves back-to-back-to-back World Series appearances would be their third straight here, Taz. Very, very good in their opener. Not to digest, nothing really to analyze and digest. I mean, they won the Dodger way. They went into it as a heavy favorite.
Yep.
They win the game 6-0. Yeah, against the Nats, right? And Buehler was very, very good getting the start for Dave Roberts.
Yeah, no doubt. I really like the Dodgers a lot.
Yep.
And they got those bats too. I mean, they had big bats, and Muncy played really well. Yeah, it was. And you're right though. It's a lot of what you expected. I watched a good amount of the game of the. I was watching a lot of the Seahawks football game, obviously, but I definitely watched a good amount of the Nats and the Dodgers also because I wanted to see what happened there. But they're. I don't think they're gonna have a problem getting out of this series here, this 5-game series, and they got one up now on Washington. So I think they're gonna be fine.
Yeah, and I think the Nats will bounce back. We'll see.
Right.
You know, we'll see in terms of trying to go against the majority a little bit. And I do like this Washington team, but. They're going to have to bounce back in a big-time way with Strasburg on the mound later on tonight being opposed by Clayton Kershaw. And we saw how brilliant Strasburg was coming in relief in that wild card game replacing Max Scherzer, who was not exactly brilliant in their comeback victory over the Milwaukee Brewers. And that was on Tuesday night. So
you think the Nats bats? You think the bats are going to wake up? They were sleepless. They had two hits.
Oh, they were very quiet. Yeah, Buehler was very good. I don't know if they're going to put on an offensive explosion. I don't want to come across that way.
Right.
I think as a team, I think they've been a very resilient team.
Right.
They closed out the regular season winners of 8 straight. They came back. They've done it without Bryce Harper. I just don't think they're going to go quietly in the series. And I actually picked them to win the series. I might end up being wrong. I didn't want to go with the Dodgers. I didn't, I do like this Nats team a lot. And, they looked like they enjoyed their wild card victory.
weekend.
That's the way they looked. That's the way they looked offensively last night. I'm not taking anything away from Bueller, and the Dodgers are great. I mean, I'm not telling you that they're not. And we'll see if maybe they could put a little bit more pressure. If the offense doesn't come around, Taz, the Nats aren't going to do anything.
No.
Not that they have to score seven, 8 runs a game, but they can't have two hits.
Yeah, it was Turner and Soto, I think, had the hits.
Yeah, that's it. And Kendrick was atrocious at first base. Did you see the ball go right through his legs?
What the hell was that?
I mean, it was atrocious.
I did. I know. Excuse me.
At that stage, Taz, it's anyone's game because it's a 1-0 game.
Yeah, they had a couple errors in that game, the Nats.
Yeah, they did. And that is a 1-0 game at that stage. Corbin's pitching in and out of trouble throughout the early part of that game. You say, all right, maybe the Nats can get lucky late, you know, kind of a bloop and a blast, as John Sterling would say. And then the Dodgers lengthened out the lead, and that was pretty much all she wrote.
Yep, that was it. Yeah.
And then you get to the early game as the Cardinals come rolling back, Taz. Milan's son was terrible, but really the talking point is going to be the lack of hustle from Ronald Acuna Jr., who's a hell of a player. You know, he's a top five player in the entire sport. His speed and power combination is just off the charts.
No doubt.
You know, the massive talking point out of this one is not how bad Melanson was, or the fact that the Braves blew a 3-1 lead at one point in time, or the fact that they got two home runs when down 7-3 in the ninth inning. Was going to be Acuna not hustling out of the box on what should have been a double. And he ended up on first base.
Horrible. It was horrible. Look, he's a young kid. He's 21 years old. He's a great player. I mean, his skill set is great. He had three hits yesterday. I mean, he really is a tremendous player. And you're right. You laid out the combo of speed, power, and stuff like that.
He's an unbelievable player.
He really is. But gee whiz, man. You can't teach. You can't coach heart. You can't coach passion or desire. You got to hustle. You can't run down first because you think the ball's a home run. All your bats in your hand. That's what he did. And then in that same inning, dude, okay, when it was the bottom of the seventh, it was first and second. There's one out. Okay, Donaldson's up at bat. He hits a line drive to short. And what is Acuna doing? He's off second base by about 15, I don't know, maybe 7, 8 yards, 9 yards, whatever it is, 10 feet, 15 feet. And he gets pulled. There's a double play off the line drive.
Yeah.
I mean, and Donaldson was pissed at Acuna. You could tell.
That was
almost as worse as not hustling.
Yeah, I have more of a problem with the lack of hustle than I do that play. Do you agree?
Yes, but I'm saying that's a bad.
Oh, no, I'm not right. saying. I'm not saying it's not bad.
He had a big lead on second.
I don't disagree with you. I'm not saying it's a smart baseball play, Taz.
Right.
But the hustle, right. Seventh inning, when you think you've hit a home run. And you better make sure it's a home run.
Right. Just run.
Like, that ball's got to be 480 feet. Like, it can't be a question where it's a wall scraper. I mean, when Ronald Acuna, who was, yeah, I've not seen him since September 24th, right? You know, he was also benched, remember we talked about at the time, by Brian Snitker, their manager, in the regular season for lack of hustle. This is a playoff game. It's the divisional series. It's game one. And you are going to cost your team a run in the seventh inning because you're hot dogging at that stage because you think the ball is gone. It doesn't end up being gone. And instead of being on second base, at worst, you got to be at second base. I mean, at best, it's a home run. At worst, you got to be on second base. The idea of not running there, and as you mentioned, hold on, it is absolutely ludicrous, and he deserves all the criticism that comes his way.
And he's going to get it, and it's to your point, it's well-deserved. With his speed and his youth and his energy and exuberance, there's no doubt he should have been on second base. No doubt. But he's like you said, he's hot-talking. He's watching the ball. He thinks it's going to be Gonski.
Well, but and there's nothing. Here's the other thing, Taz. There's nothing Brian Snitker can do about it now.
He's not benching him.
Well, you can't bench him.
No.
It's the playoffs.
No, you can't bench him.
I mean, so what message are you now going to send Ronald Acuna to get through his head? I mean, I know the embarrassment. And he got called out by his teammates, whether it be Freddie Freeman, others, you know, saying that that can't be happening, Taz.
Yeah. Yep.
But you can't do anything about it. You got to roll him right back out there for game two. Because if you lose that game, going back to St. Louis, the series is over.
Dude, you need that guy in that lineup. I mean, if you're the Braves, you need that kid in that lineup. I mean, hopefully he rebounds from this, and I'm sure he will, but he definitely probably had the riot act read to him in that clubhouse.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, Taz, and hopefully he got the message. He thought maybe after the regular season he did. Game one of the NLDS, it reared his ugly head again. We'll come back. We'll run around the NFL. Week 5, that will be. It's Taz and Moose on a Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.